Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 103. Yes, 103 episodes of The Caffeination. Yes, we are a little bit late today. This is actually one day after we're supposed to be taping. That was because of the Super Bowl yesterday. A fairly boring and sloppy game if you're into American football. And if you're not, a fairly large amount of boring commercials. So otherwise, you know, we had a good time. We had a whole bunch of people over the house here. It was pretty good stuff, but I don't know, just kind of left a little bit to be desired. I enjoyed the outcome of the game, but the lead up to it was kind of bad. Just kind of a sloppy game all around. And if there's one thing that's a pet peeve for me, I mean, if for those of you who are not familiar with the Super Bowl, any of our listeners from overseas or anything like that, one of the things that people look forward to, even the non-football fans out there, is they like seeing the new and innovative commercials that usually come out during the Super Bowl. In fact, There's a competition among the commercials themselves, and it's a great way to get noticed. The spots on the Super Bowl are notoriously overpriced. This year, I've been quoting the price of $1.5 million for 30 seconds, but I was horribly wrong. It's $2.6 million for 30 seconds of airtime during the Super Bowl. And some companies saw fit to greet us with such tripe as the same commercial they've been playing for the last, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 months. I was really disappointed in some of the stuff, so I was like, all right. All in all, it was a nice night. Had fun hanging out with some friends, but other than that, you know, kind of wish I had gotten the podcast out. It was pretty bad, but all right. Like I said, this is going to be a great show. Well, I hadn't said it yet. I had thought it. But you know it's going to be a great show. Yes, we have this is the day after podcast. It's a little bit sloppy in and of itself. I had a whole bunch of stuff I wanted to talk about, but phew. One of the joys of having a very young child and a house full of people is that the sleep patterns get disrupted mightily. So last night Paul was up around like 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning, and stayed up until about 10 minutes before we were supposed to wake up for work today. So it was a rough night, to say the least. This show almost didn't happen, but I got a second wind I don't know where from. So we're going to try and carry forth here. We're going to try and sally onward or whatever else there is. All right, we have a whole bunch of tech tidbits lined up for you today. A little bit of tech talk. We're going to talk a little bit about the world of free gaming. We're going to highlight two games that I am absolutely in love with, think that you should really give a shot, basically because they're free, and I think they're high-quality products. And talk a little bit about the upcoming holiday, Valentine's Day. Love is in the air with gaming, girl gaming specifically. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Have a couple little caffeinated bits. And then we'll send you on your way. We do have the return of the PodSafe Music here from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. But we're going to talk a little bit about our sponsor first. We're pretty proud that the Caffeination here is a show that's been sponsored by GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 45 days. These days, whether you're in business or you simply want to share something with your family or your friends, email and voicemail just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an online meeting solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, your family, and your friends. GoToMeeting makes it easy to provide training and share information with coworkers, family, and friends. All you need is your PC, an internet connection, and a phone. You invite people to meet you online. Your attendees will see your computer screen on their monitors, and best of all, you can meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for only one flat rate. But don't take my word for it. Give it a shot yourself. Try it free for 45 days. No credit cards needed. Just head on over to GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and type in the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, the Try It Free button, and the promo code PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, like I said, we're pretty proud to have GoToMeeting as a sponsor here at the Caffeination. They've been very good to us, and so far they're helping definitely pay the bills around here. That's a welcome addition with any kind of expense. I mean, honestly, it's not very expensive to host the Caffeination in its current setup. We're actually piggybacking off another one of my online ventures, which didn't fare so well, but still, by far the most successful thing I've ever attempted online is the Caffeination, so I'm pretty proud of this. I think we're doing a pretty good job. So if you're listening to this show over at the stream at the Tech Podcast Network, you can find it at www.caffination.com. And if you'd like to send us comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to do, you can send that to caffeination@gmail.com. Usually we like to say this pretty much right up front, but we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at Blueberry. All right, so let's see what we got going here. Oh, yeah, the PodSafe Music. Like I told you, we're a little bit disjointed today. I apologize. PodSafe Music Network has provided us with a wonderful song here. I was looking around for a good bluesy song, and it's unbelievably cold outside right now, at least for me. I think it's like 9 degrees Fahrenheit outside right now. I walked outside to put the trash out, and it was physically painful. So, all right, up here from the PodSafe Music Network, we have Calvin Owens with Coffee Man. Again, that's Calvin Owens with his song, Coffee Man. Let me know what you think.
Two things in life I know. Music and coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I bring excitement to the music scene like a heaping cup of pure caffeine. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans. Coffee man, I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. Folks love my music from beginning to end. Cause all of my music is a premium blend. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans. Coffee man, I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. Coffee in the morning can be ecstasy. Like my sweet, sweet woman laying down next to me. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I make it older, but I never get old. Like all great coffee, I'll stay black and bold. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans. Coffee man, I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. Sometime I'll sweeten it, or maybe I'll spike it. People, you sure gonna like it. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans. Coffee man, I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. Sugar make it sweet, cream makes it smooth. When you hear my music, baby, you sure got to move. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans. Yeah.
special brew just for you.
That right there is one of my all-time favorite blues songs from the PodSafe Music Network. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I do. That's one I know I'm going to be humming along to tomorrow, but I especially love the tonality in the man's voice, in Calvin's voice, especially at the beginning and the end. I mean, he has such great range as a vocalist. It really makes the song pop. I mean, a lesser man could not have sung the song quite that well, let's just say. But all right, this brings us up to the caffeination in and of itself. We have the tech tidbits we're going to lead off with here. If I seemed a little distracted right before that song ended up, it was because I was sitting here, 10 o'clock at night recording the caffeination, and I started getting a phone call upstairs on my cell phone, which is really strange because most of the people I know wouldn't call right around now. So I still don't know the phone number. Apologize if I sounded more than a little bit offbeat there, but still, we have a tech tidbit section here. All right, now, many of you out there, don't know that you can head on over to thecaffeination.com. That's www.caffeination.com. And leave comments, feedback, and suggestions right at the bottom of the episode. If you particularly liked one thing, you can go over there, register as a user or not, and throw a little comment up there. Hey, I really liked what you were doing here, but one of the things that the comments lend themselves to is spam. What people do is you get to put a link into the comments. So, like, for instance, if somebody at caffeinationiscool.com or ineedcoffee.com, one of the sites that we frequent in and of ourselves, but if you were a person at ineedcoffee.com or ilovecoffee.com and you left a comment, suggestion, whatever else on the caffeination.com, there'd be a link back to your website, which is good business to start building the link network, as it were, around your website. So there's a large business in spam comments. They throw up random gibberish as a comment, and then they have these crazy obtuse URLs sometimes. It's really amazing that they actually think that this does anything. I mean, I don't know who out there would approve a comment that looks like that, first of all, especially with some of the really raunchy terms that get thrown in there. So one of the things that I was looking for with when I was looking for a blogging platform to build my podcast around, somewhere around September and October, when I was looking to move the caffeination off of the fine folks over at Podomatic, was I was looking for a very robust spam-catching software. And I'm a fan of open source. I'm a fan of free software. I mean, hey, who isn't a fan of free software? So when I checked out WordPress and found out that it was available on my hosting provider, I was like, this is a really good idea. I'm just going to try it out first. So I tried it out on my personal blog, and I started getting the spam comments almost the first day. But the fun thing is, WordPress comes with this little thing called AskImit, or I'm probably mispronouncing it, probably butchering it horribly, but it automatically filters out 98% of your spam comments. And after that, you can turn on comment moderation. So if you've never posted a comment to my website before, I basically have to go in there and say, hey, yes, you can, no, you can't, I don't know you. That's not the kind of thing we want to put on our show. So, I mean, it's a good thing right off the bat, and I know it can be a little irritating for users, so we'd like to apologize for that. But since November 20th, 2006, AskImit has caught 1,992 attempts to spam my blog. It's just impressive. It's a huge number. It's a great piece of software. I'm really glad that it comes default with the installation of WordPress. And speaking of WordPress, we'd like to let people know within the next couple weeks we're going to be looking to upgrade the actual software that runs the podcast here in the hopes of moving from 2.07 to WordPress 2.1. Now, we're hoping and praying that this is going to be an easy, nice, loving change. That is not always the case. So the first thing we're going to do is upgrade over at our personal blog. That's where we try to all the stuff out that we do on the caffeination first. Because, I mean, hey, if people can't read what I think about things, that's no real big loss. But if they can't get the content, if they can't get the caffeination, as it were, then we have issues. So we're going to try that out before we upgrade, and I'm going to be letting everybody know well ahead of time, hey, this could potentially mess this whole thing up. So I gotta admit, this is the first major upgrade of WordPress I've done, but there's just some really cool features coming down the pike. So if you're a blogger, I'd hardly suggest you head on over to WordPress.com, because they have, kind of like Blogger, they have a free blog over there. You can host up to 25 megs of content. Not really good for a podcast, so to speak, but hey, you could rock a whole lot of blogging, as it were, on 25 megs of storage. So there's that. All right, now we have into the strange news. Now, if you read the Caffeination yesterday, you see I posted up a small collection of links, things that I had found funny, and the first one's from my wife. She leans into me yesterday afternoon while we were taking a break from cleaning up the bathroom, and we're doing a lot of remodeling on the bathroom, so it's in various stages of disrepair at any point in time. It has to be functional at all points in time, but sometimes barely so. So we had just cleaned up that day's work, and we're heading down to actually take a rest before everybody started showing up. And she says, "Hey, you like Star Wars, right? That's that whole Chewbacca thing." I said, "Yeah, why?" So apparently he just got arrested for headbutting somebody. I was like, "What? What do you mean, the actor?" She's like, "Oh, no. Some guy dressed up in a Wookiee suit." All right, now this piqued my interest. So she sent me a link to the article, which I now have posted on tonight's show. Apparently out in California, it's a common attraction in front of places like Grauman's Chinese Theater to have people who dress up like characters for tourists to pose for pictures in front of. So, people are dressed up like Superman, Chewbacca, I don't know, whole bunches of different things. There's just crazy. But the problem becomes people don't always want to pay the performers for posing for pictures. So the performers sometimes get agitated, angry, and then begin to attempt to accost somebody. For instance, last year, somebody dressed as Freddy Krueger actually stabbed another performer, I guess, when they were, reenacting something. But apparently here's how it went down. Apparently a tour guide operator noticed the large Chewbacca, the furry Wookiee looking object, the 7 foot tall teddy bear, as it were, attempting to accost two young Japanese tourists who had posed for a photo with him without paying. So he goes over there and says, "You really need to leave him alone," basically, for all intents and purposes, to which the Wookiee responds, no, actually, the Wookiee responded something like, "Nobody tells this Wookiee what to do." Now, first of all, Wookiee's a funny word. I mean, even if you're not a big Star Wars fan, I mean, that's just an awesome, awesome little commentary on today's society right there. But still, just crazy. So he apparently headbutted the tour guide. Everything went down. They took Chewbacca in cuffs, and I believe they actually had him remove the head before he went in for the mugshot. But they said some of the witnesses were Batman, Spider-Man, and Superman. So Superman's a good egg. I think it was Batman and Spider-Man as well. I have to reread the article. They started throwing all kinds of names out there, and it was just, it's just crazy. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, they have all kind of name dropping happening in the middle of the story. Apparently, last year, three guys were arrested. That would be Elmo the Muppet, the Scream guy from the Scream movies, and Mr. Incredible were arrested for aggressive begging. So, kind of funny. Definitely love to see a little bit of the Chewbacca in the news. So thought I'd throw it out there. That definitely fits our little bit of offbeat news there. And all right, here's another strange story, which it reported from the Inquirer.net. Apparently, Apple is urging users to delay their Vista upgrade. Why? So, well, iTunes won't work yet. Okay, so at first I just blew this story off, and then I had a little bit of time earlier today, and I was like, you know what? Let me just read it, because it's kind of strange that they would say, "Oh yeah, you really want to delay Vista." Then I kind of extrapolated on that a little bit, like, okay, wait a minute, they run a rival operating system, so the longer people delay upgrading to Vista, possibly the more time they would have to switch over to becoming a Mac user, which is one way to look at it. But there's apparently some legal issues with them doing this, because Apple has enough of a percentage of the digital media player market, somewhere over 70 to 75%, to be considered a monopoly. So it is illegal for a company to use its monopoly in one market to influence the outcomes of another market. So if they were to use their monopoly of players to influence the choice of people's operating system, that would be considered an illegal use of the monopoly. Although I was under the impression that monopolies were bad in general. So this just, I just kind of threw it up there to let people know about this. I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, I got to admit, like I've said millions of times, I am a functionalist, and I have not found anything that functions better than the iPod. Although I am a little bit irritated at some of the recent changes to the iPod, like the removal of the FireWire support for transferring files. Now, if that just went over your head, let me break it down for you a little bit quick here. The two holes in the back of your computer that the iPod fits into, the one rectangular one and the one rectangle with a rounded end, the rectangular one is slower than the other one, basically. But the FireWire port, the one with the rounded off end, looks kind of like a bullet. Just the silhouette of a bullet, is significantly faster. It's like 400 megs a second, whereas the fastest that USB 2.0, which is the straight rectangle one, can go is somewhere around like 150. So they keep increasing the file size of things that actually get put on the iPod, and they're removing functionality that lets you transfer these files quicker. So I don't really get the rationale there, but hey, they make a damn fine music player, so... All right, moving right along, we have a little bit more strange tech. I mean, this is from the sci-fi blog. That's blog.sci-fi.com. Glam up your laundry room with a gilded washing machine. Apparently, if you need some bling in your life, you can wring it out with this fancy little washing machine. It's from a Korean company, but it's spiffy beyond belief here. There's a gold crest emblazoned in the middle of the side-loading washing machine with a gold-leafed decor around the outside, and apparently I better have a pretty good warranty as well. But it just seems kind of crazy. It's bright red with gold finish, so it's very attractive looking for a washing machine. Definitely want to keep this one out of the eyes of the wife, because we have a lovely washing machine, which is just plain white right about now. If you really need to accessorize your laundry room, I really doubt that you are in a position where you're still doing your own laundry. So, moving right along. Like I said, this is a little bit of a disjointed show. I just found a lot of strange things that had no relation to each other at all. So I figured I'd pass them along to you. Robot sighting. Yes, we love robots here at the Caffeination, and this just happened to be one of the stranger robots we've ever seen. Everybody can understand the concept of a robot that uses tank treads to drive around. Okay, the treads are in full contact with the ground, and it drives around, looks just like a tank. All right, we got that. Now imagine if instead of four wheels, it had four tank treads. Okay, we get what that would look like. Now imagine the robot's flat. Okay, we get what that would look like. Now imagine that instead of driving on the long side of the tread, it drove on the top side of the tread, like the small end of the oval where the tread is. Now that's what this that's what this robot does. Apparently, it is one of the only known complete all-terrain robots out there. They said they haven't been able to find a surface which this thing cannot scale, except, you know, like straight up. But it just seems to be a pretty interesting design concept for the way that the robot would move. And all the tracks can, like, you know, rotate and flip around at different intervals, I guess. I assume that it could also, you know, ride flat, but it just seems kind of cool. Started to throw it out there, let people know about it. Let's see what we have. Apparently I missed one of my links. Have a lovely little thing here. All right, can you copyright good dancing? Apparently, yes, you can. The inventor of the electric slide has a copyright on the dance, the electric slide. You know, the series of steps that go to create said electric slide. And I'm pretty sure if any of you have been at a wedding in the last 10 to 15 years, you've probably done or seen the electric slide, along with the new electric slide, It's Raining Men, Cotton Eye Joe, any one of a number of line dances to make everybody feel like they actually can dance when people are telling them how to. But, apparently, he's getting irritated with everybody using his art form to dance badly. So he is thrown down a DMCA notice to YouTube. That's a Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Said since people are doing it incorrectly, it's infringing upon his copyright somehow. He says basically, and here's a direct quote from the man, "Any video that shows my choreography being done incorrectly is being removed. I don't want future generations having to learn it wrong, then relearn it, as I am being faced with now because of certain sites and people that have been teaching it incorrectly and without my permission. That's the reason I copyrighted it in the first place." Yes. That's just strange. Apparently the man's name is Richard Silver, so, yeah. I never heard of anybody copywriting a dance, and I think that's a little bit strange because there's no... I don't know. There's no way to enforce that law. I had a class much younger in my life, much earlier in my life, rather, where they said one of the basic tenets of a law is the fact that you have to be able to enforce it. So if you can't stop people from doing the electric slide, then you really shouldn't be able to copyright the electric slide. So it's just... It's off the wall. That, and he's also seeking royalties for people using it at weddings. He wants to charge the DJs every time they play it. I could see that, although, again, I see that being a major pain in the rear end. It's probably going to end the whole use of the electric slide, but still, kind of wanted to throw that out there, let people know about it. I just thought it was kind of ridiculous, the lengths that some people were willing to go to, but all right. Let's see what else we have over here. That about wraps it up for our little tech tidbit section. We're moving on to our new section here. I'm sorry. There were two other little things here. Any of you out there who think that you're pretty witty and you think that you can write a good sentence or two, how'd you like to write for Engadget? Apparently Engadget is looking for a bunch of fresh recruits. They're looking for an East Coast editor, a nighttime editor, and a week-time contributing writers. Somebody to write for Engadget HD, and somebody to write for Engadget Mobile. So you can head on over to the link in our show notes. That's Engadget.com, and basically it's /2007/02051. Wants to write for Engadget. I know that's a insanely long URL to try and remember. So you should just head on over to the Caffeination and click the link. But basically, it seems to be a pretty interesting idea. I'm actually going to take a chance and apply to it because I think it'd be an interesting idea, something to add to the resume. Hey, yes, I worked for Engadget. That'd be kind of cool. They basically want some samples of writing. They're not asking you for a resume or anything, and you don't need professional writing experience. And in that same vein, apparently there's a website called Firing Squad, does PC hardware and gaming reviews, and they're also looking for a writer. So... But it's more of a contest, so I don't know if it's a permanent paying gig, but both of these jobs are actually paying. So I was like, hey, that's a pretty good idea. It's a good way to earn extra money on the side there, so it's kind of interesting. So, hey, figure I'd let people out there know, hey, you know. And I just said hey about 9 times. I apologize for that. All right, on to today's Tech Talk. What we're talking about today is actually free gaming. Now, I'm a big gamer. I love playing different kinds of video games. I love all kinds from, you know, the simple text-based choose-your-own-adventures. I had a lovely conversation with some of the students in work today. A lot of them are real big World of Warcraft players, and they said, well, why don't you play World of Warcraft? You know, you can come onto our server and everything. I was like, you know, do you understand how my personality works? They probably don't, so I gave them a little explanation. I said, if I were to join World of Warcraft, I would end up playing until 5, 6 in the morning whenever we were leaving for work. So I would have no time to do anything, you know, like sleep. I barely have time enough to sleep as it is now, just excessively caffeinated lifestyle that I lead. But still, it's just, I just can see that becoming a very large addiction. So things where it's not that time consuming are a little bit better for me. So, you know, online gaming with the Xbox 360 and stuff like that, it's a little bit more controllable from my end. It's like, okay, I can beat this level and then I'm done. Since that's kind of a sandbox game, kind of an open-ended environment with a lot of personal interaction. Oh, well, no, I just need to go over that ridge. Oh, that's something cool. I want to see what's at the bottom of that valley. Nah, that I could definitely see that getting very, very bad very, very quickly. So I kind of cut that off and said, but I started thinking about all the different games that I do like that don't cost anything. And two of them kind of stuck out. One of them's a fairly recent addition to the stable here at the Caffeination. That's the Westnoth Gaming Catalog. I originally found it when I installed Linux on one of our servers in work. I was like, okay, I meant to uninstall the games. What's this? Oh, Westnoth. So I did a little research later on, you know, when I was installing Linux at home, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. It's kind of like it's a turn-based strategy game, so it's similar to Warcraft, the original Warcraft, except for you're not doing something at the same time somebody else is. I'm a real big fan of turn-based games because I like the ability to, if you get distracted or something else in the middle, you can always come back to it. So, I mean, that's a big plus. And then one of the things when I was researching it later on after that, you know, after I uninstalled it from the server because it was using up valuable real estate there that's going to be used for tutorials and all other kinds of crazy stuff that we're doing, but after I uninstalled it, I did a little search on it, and you can apparently compile it from source, which is awesome. It's open source. It's free. You can get it for Windows, Mac, and Linux, which you can actually get it installed on, which I accidentally did. So I got to admit, for the past 2-3 weeks here, I've been playing it pretty much every night. It's one of those games that's really addictive. An interesting combat situation. It's a very good graphically game, especially for being free. It's unbelievable graphics. Some of the rendered storylines are a little cheesy, but hey, what do you want? So it's a definite addition that will stick around for a little while here at the Caffeination. And the other one is the venerable NetHack. It has nothing to do with actually being online, but rather the fact that somebody or the group of people who got together developed it over an online connection. So wonderful, wonderful game. It is the most complete and fleshed out role-playing game that I have ever played. There's a common phrase in NetHack that basically, or the circles of people who play NetHack that says, you know, the dev team thinks of everything. And it refers to the almost strange, or not the almost, the actual very strange propensity for, you know, just doing strange, you know, random things in the game and getting odd results back. So you start the game with a pet. If you name the pet certain things happen. They have cycles of the moon. So, you know, some people would just be content to have cycles of the moon. You know, like, okay, it's a new moon tonight. Beware. And no, the fact that it's a new moon tonight actually has a whole series of problems. Like, there's more undead that wander around. If you have a full moon out and you've been bitten by a wolf anytime in the game, you turn into a werewolf. I mean, sorry about that. The time of day that you start your gaming session matters. So if you start in the middle of the day, certain modifiers, like if you're a lawful class, then you get modifiers. If you start at night then and you're a chaotic class, then you get, you know, good points. If you start on Friday the 13th, nobody has any luck. I mean, it's just crazy the depths that these things go into. And if you're unsure of what something is when you're walking across the room and you see a symbol or an icon that you don't know what it is, and you can, you know, get more information on it, they have quotes from absolutely every literary source that you can imagine, from the staples of J.R.R. Tolkien to the Bible to the Quran to strange made-up tomes that they themselves have found to things as obtuse as the Compendium Maleficarum, a rather old Latin text describing the different ways in which the devil was present in medieval Europe. I mean, it's just a crazy, crazy game, and you can combine different things. Like, for instance, putting oil on the floor will make somebody slip, but you can also light the oil, or you can throw the oil into the fire and cause an explosion. I mean, it's just there's no way to adequately describe NetHack. You have to actually just give it a shot and play it. So I put links up there to both of the homepages for the games that I'm incredibly addicted to. So hopefully you'll head on over there and check it out. Now the next little thing, that pretty much wraps up our Tech Talk with Free Gaming. If you have a suggestion for something you'd like to hear on Tech Talk, just please let us know. You send an email to caffeination@gmail.com. I promise we'll do a little bit more justice than we did to whatever we were talking about here tonight. But one last little bit from the entire tech section here at the Caffeination. That's Girl Gaming. There's a article out there from I know. Actually, from Xbox.com that I saw, and I was like, oh, this is a really interesting article they have here. It says, how to get your girl gaming. Basically, it's speaking to male geeks who enjoy video games and everything, and they say one of the most common problems that guys have is that they're unable to show their girlfriends, wives, significant others, why they're so interested in these video games. And, you know, I've seen that problem. Jen, on more than one occasion, has rolled her eyes when I'm talking about a specific genre of game, and she has on more than one occasion when I'm talking about it on the podcast walked through and rolled her eyes. So it's a very understandable thing, and you know, there are not a lot of girls that are out there and very public about the fact that they like games. So I wanted to throw this article up there just because, first of all, I thought it was interesting. Basically, it's a collection of different pieces of advice that guys have given, and then I'm going to give you my little bit of advice at the end after I've run through some of them. Some of them are very, you know, helpful. They're like, you know, it's easy if you have a big group of guys and girls together. The girls will play with encouragement from the guys, and good gateway games include, and they give you a whole bunch of other ones. Things like Uno, DDR, you know, Dance Dance Revolution, Frogger, Pac-Man. They give instances of games that you should probably stay away from because most girls won't actually find them interesting. They actually show a whole bunch of different scenarios, and then there's guys trying to be cool and show that, oh, yeah, my girlfriend plays Rainbow Six, my girlfriend plays Halo, and all right, yeah, sure she does. Does she talk back when you talk to her? Can you see her? Is she here right now? But, but the other thing that I saw in this was that a lot of guys were kind of, a little bit derogatory towards girls with gaming. Like, oh, well, you need to take the training wheels off. I'm like, they're not stupid. They just don't enjoy what you do. I'm pretty sure that if you were trying to go out there and talk romance novels with somebody who enjoyed romance novels, you'd come off like a noob too, but still. One of the basic things that you have to think about is you take the person, like, this is my bit of advice. If you're a guy out there who's trying to get your girl into gaming, so you take the person involved and you kind of analyze what kind of game you think they would enjoy. For instance, if your girl is not into war movies, space movies, or pretty much any movie that she doesn't like, she's not going to enjoy a game from the same genre. Pretty much, right off the bat. That's a safe bet. So if your girlfriend is very into Star Wars, then hey, you know what? You might be able to sell her on a Star Wars game. You don't have to stick with simplistic games. I mean, a lot of the guys are out there like, oh yeah, you know, you should try Uno, and it, you know, it's really simple. It's not the fact that Uno is simple. It's the fact that Uno is a well-known game. You know, she's probably played Uno before, so she's familiar with the rules. One of the games that Jen and I have played periodically, you know, especially when we first got the Xbox, was we would play pool on the Xbox. And it was pretty enjoyable. She does, in fact, like Dance Dance Revolution. She likes games with a lot of action. She completely embarrassed the hell out of me in Karaoke Revolution because they had a demo for it on Dance Dance Revolution. And I have absolutely no tonality whatsoever in my voice. She's a much better singer, and she can stay on key. I butchered it, and the only thing is, I'm lucky the game's still here. But still, you just take the kind of things that your girlfriend or significant other enjoys, and then you try and extrapolate them and put them onto the gaming in general. So Jen, you know, she's a mild gamer, I guess you could say. She's a casual fan of gaming. She will do racing games because, again, the learning curve is not something that, you know, she needs to learn all these special key combinations to actually enjoy the game. One button's the gas, one button's the brake. Anything other than that is gravy. So you want something that doesn't have a steep learning curve if the person seems hesitant to try gaming. It's not necessarily, oh, well, they won't understand it. They don't need to learn 50 things before the game becomes enjoyable. That's a pain. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, if you were to sit down at a gaming console and said, oh, okay, you need to learn how to do a figure four leg lock before you can continue. No, not in the game. You actually have to subdue the person you're playing in order to advance to the next level. So, I mean, you need to take into account the learning curve, because you're not dealing with somebody who's going to sit down and play for 8 or 9 hours right off the bat. So, you know, hopefully that'll give you more of a idea, more of a way to go. some of the games that Jen's interested in are not necessarily team sports, shall we say. We used to play Mario Tennis, I mean, for hours on end. Mario Tennis and Mario Kart for N64. We used to play almost every day of the week. Whenever I was over her house, that's what we would be playing. And she likes games with more of the cartoony feel, more of the, I don't know. They just seem to be more fun. There seemed to be a lot more interesting interaction between the characters in those games. She tried some of the tennis that's on the Xbox, and it was just too boring, too stiff, and the learning curve. You had to press and hold the button before this long. No, it wasn't just hitting the ball and running around. So that's a prime example. If there's too much to learn before the game starts to be fun, the person's not going to get involved. She also really likes The Sims, The Sims 2, any of the expansion packs, anything like that. Not just because she likes to control the way that people interact within the game, but she loves the building features of the game. So right now I have her trying out Viva Pinata, and she's actually been playing it for a little while. But you got to find games that they like. You know, if there is a game they like, if they have a hobby like Sudoku, then you might want to extrapolate that onto a game. Okay, if she likes Sudoku, she might like a math puzzle game or something like that. So hopefully that'll help you if that's one of your goals for this Valentine's Day season. But I would strongly suggest to you, if you're trying to get your girlfriend or significant other into gaming, you do not infer some of the things that they do in that little article there. You might want to steer clear of the whole, well, no, this is simple, you'll be able to understand it. It's not that she'll be able to understand it. It's that you might be looking for a new girlfriend by the end of the day if you keep going that way. So we had a little bit of caffeinated bits before we head on our way today. Again, I've been rambling pretty long. This is almost a 50-minute episode again. Figure I'll be able to get up and out what I have here. The first thing is, everybody out there, every once in a while, you're grounding out. You have a dirty coffee pot. It's disgusting. You open up the inner workings of the coffee pot. You look, and there's this thick residue on there, and you're like, how the hell have I been drinking it, and is this what's making the coffee so good? So, you need to clean your coffee pot out every once in a while. And one of the things that Jen recently found when she was reading a bottle of vinegar, don't ask, she puts it on spaghetti, but one of the things she was reading was that you can use it to clean coffee pots. What you do is instead, and we've tried it and it really works. I'm pleasantly surprised with the way it's turned out. It's actually revived my machine from work. So you basically, in place of your 12 cups of water or whatever else it is, you fill it with 12 cups of vinegar. And you run it through the system without a filter, without anything else, and then you dump the vinegar out. And then you take two full pots of water, pour it in, and run it through the system before the coffee pot is usable again. The only downside of this is your entire office or place smells like salt and vinegar chips for quite a while, so you might want to do this in a well-ventilated area. So I thought I might want to pass that along to people. And one thing that I've been noticing recently in a lot of the convenience stores and everything out there, for some reason the bad coffee is starting to smell like old cigarettes. I mean, like wet cigarettes. I don't know if anybody else has seen this, just thought I wanted to throw it out there. And then the last little thing we had here for the caffeinated bits today is actually a little brain teaser. You can head on over to the link in the caffeinated bits. There's a picture of a whole bunch of coffee beans. It says "The Man Between the Coffee Beans." It's from mopo.ca. This is a fun little puzzle. Basically, you have to look for the man standing within the hoard of coffee beans in the picture, and depending on how long it takes you to find it, it tells you a little bit of something about yourself. I found the guy in about 4 seconds, but the way that they have it listed here is, let's see. If you find the man between 3 seconds and find the man within 3 seconds, then the right half of your brain is better developed than most people. If you find it between 3 seconds and 1 minute, then the right half of your brain is developed normally. If you find the man between 1 minute and 3 minutes, then the right half of your brain is still functioning slowly and you need to eat more protein. If you have not found the man after 3 minutes, then the right half of your brain is a mess, and the only advice is to look for more of these types of exercises to make that part of the brain stronger. In my defense, I found it after 4 or 5 seconds because I hadn't had any coffee that day. So I was more lusting after the beans than looking for the gentleman standing in the picture. All right, that's just about wraps it up here for the caffeination. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Like I said, it's a little bit of a disjointed affair here. Wanted to throw out a couple of little links, a couple of little things you can do to head on over to our site and see what you think about it. But if you're listening to this podcast on the stream over the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffination.com. That's caffination.com. We're a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's blubrry. What else do we have here? There's the music I was looking for. I'm very sorry about that. If you have comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to send our way, then you can head on over and send it to caffeination@gmail.com, or you can go over to the Caffeination website and click the register button at the top and get our newsletter. Getting larger all the time, piece by piece. So if you'd like to receive the show notes and a link to download the audio as soon as it's posted, you know, just head on over there, register, and give us your correct email address and general name that we can identify you by, and we won't share it with anybody else. Basically, you just end up in the BCC field of a Gmail account, but that's about it. Hope everybody out there had fun. Oh, yeah, one more thing. If you'd like to become our friend over at MySpace, we have myspace.com/caffeination, and Skype ID is caffeination.com. All right, getting a little bit ahead of myself. Sorry. Our Skype ID is caffa-nation. That's caffeination. Thanks, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.